All right, as our children prepare to head downstairs, I'm going to invite you to turn in your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. As we continue understanding the living hope that is ours in Christ, as we continue looking at all of God's provisions for His people. So 1 Peter chapter 5. We're looking at verses 1 through 5 today. You know, God is a God of provision. He is the shepherd. He has always shepherded His people. As you look in Scripture, going back from Genesis all the way to Revelation, you have a history of God caring for, providing for His people as a shepherd would a flock. You could think of the Israelites when they were wandering in the desert for 40 years in the wilderness. Think of how God provided for them. I mean, first you think of probably manna. That comes for, yeah, manna. Manna from heaven. Fell down. They complained about that. So He gave them quail. And He gave them enough quail that they were stuffed with it and then almost had to complain about that. He gave them water from a rock. He provided for His people. He provided for them to the point that their sandals did not wear out. It's amazing. But one of the ways that we consistently see God providing for His people in Scripture is through leaders. And we think of Moses. And when Moses passed, He provided Joshua to lead them into the promised land. You read the book of Judges over and over again. God is providing and raising up a leader amongst them to guide them, to deliver them. Each leader is a type of, a kind of a picture of, it's kind of a foreshadowing of Jesus Christ, whom God sent to be our great provision, who said even He Himself is the bread that we must eat of. He is the living water. He is the good shepherd, unlike other shepherds. Well, now that Christ has ascended, and we consider the church and we consider our role and our calling to be holy witnesses in a hostile world, it's almost like we're back in the wilderness again. Peter has told us we're sojourners. Well, one of the things Peter wants the people to know in chapter 5 is that, again, God is still providing. That's what God does. He provides for His people. And in chapter 5, in these first 5 verses, we're going to see that one of the ways God provides for His church is through the gifting of elders. So take a look with me now at 1 Peter chapter 5, beginning in verse 1. So I exhort the elders among you, as a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, as well as a partaker in the glory that is going to be revealed, shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you, not for shameful gain, but eagerly, not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. Likewise, you who are younger, be subject to the elders. Clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility toward one another, for God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Let's pray. Father God, we thank You. We thank You for Your faithfulness to Your people, Your provision in Christ, for our redemption, for forgiveness of our sins. We thank You that You continue to bless Your people through providing us with spiritual gifts and providing us with the church, but specifically with providing for us through elders. And we pray, Lord, that You would help us today to see Your work, Your goodness, to see how Christ still cares and shepherds His people through His under-shepherds. And Lord, let Your church be faithful to Your shepherds, that we would persevere and be the holy witnesses You've called us to be in this hostile world. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 through 4, we're looking here at God's provision of elders, His gifting. And what I want you to see in the first four verses is, number one, that your elders are to lead faithfully. They're to lead faithfully. Peter makes it very clear in verse 1 of chapter 5. He's speaking to the elders, but notice there's something else here. Notice that he's speaking to elders, but he's speaking to the elders, but he's talking to them in the presence of the congregation. Do you see that? I exhort the elders among you. Who's he talking to? He's talking to the elders, but he's also kind of talking to you. I exhort the elders among you. You see, the words, the encouragement, the challenge that he has for these elders is to be given to them in public. Why? And this is so, so important. Hear me. Because elders serve in a place of accountability. They're accountable. Elders are accountable, number one, first to the chief shepherd that he mentions, which is Jesus Christ. Elders are accountable to Christ. But secondly, elders are accountable to the flock amongst them. Elders are called to lead, but here's where we might have a little bit of a difference with some people of like faith, but they see elders a little differently. We believe, according to Scripture, that elders are to lead, but they're not to rule. They don't rule over you. In our understanding, the congregation rules. And the elders then serve accountable to the congregation, even as they serve in a position of oversight to the congregation. That's important, and I think you see that here. To the elders among you. So that everyone knows what the Lord and what Peter is calling elders to do. It's not a secret. You shouldn't wonder what your elder's up to. Part of what he's up to is what God instructs him and calls him to do, and we see that here in this passage. But there's something else here before we get into what the elders are supposed to do, and I don't want us to miss this. Peter isn't commanding them, but he's rather exhorting them. There's a distinction, right? There's a difference between commanding and exhorting. He's not commanding them as an apostle, which he could do if you go back to chapter 1, verse 1. He is an apostle. And as an apostle, he has authority and he could command them, but he doesn't. He doesn't command them. He speaks to them as a fellow elder. Look at the text. So I exhort the elders among you as a fellow elder. He identifies with them, not only in that role as an elder, but he identifies with them as a sojourner sufferer and as one awaiting the grace that will be revealed. See the rest of the verse? As a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ. So there he's talking about he was there when they arrested Christ. Of course, he doesn't bring up that he pulled out his sword and he wasn't very good with it and he just took the guy's ear off. He doesn't bring that up, but he brings up that he was there. He witnessed suffering because of what was happening to Christ, even though, as we saw before, he didn't do such a great job at first. But I think when he says that here, he's trying to identify with them because they are suffering because of Christ. And he says, look, I've suffered. I know the suffering of Christ. I'm with you in this. And then he connects with them again, as well as a partaker in the glory that is going to be revealed. Peter's in it with us. He's waiting. I'm in this hostile world. We're suffering and we're awaiting something much better. And until it gets here, yes, we face trials and tribulations and I'm doing it with you. And so again, he almost steps out of that apostle role and he gets down with the elders. And he says, hey, I'm one of you. And let me exhort you in what God is wanting to do through you. And now what is that? The main exhortation. It's verse 2. Shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight. There it is. It's right there. That's what elders do. Elders are called to shepherd the flock. And in case you're not super familiar with shepherds, that involves exercising oversight over the flock. Now, many of us are kind of familiar with shepherds. We get it. You got the image, right? You know, just throw like a sheet over my head and then hold like a big wooden like staff, and you think that's a shepherd. You could pick me out of a crowd, right? But even though we're a little familiar, the distance between when shepherding was a big thing and our lives is pretty great. And so we don't really connect. You don't really get all that he's saying when he says shepherd the flock. You see, in Peter's day, people had flocks, and it was a major occupation to be a shepherd. Because people owned flocks, but what they did not own is hundreds and hundreds of acres of plush green grass for the sheep to eat. It was an arid climate. They didn't have that. You had a dust bowl, and you had a sheep fold, which was like a big pen. And then the sheep had to be cared for every day. And that means the shepherd had to lead them out and lead them away from the arid land, find green pastures for the sheep to eat, find a safe place for the sheep to lay down and rest, find a good place for the sheep to get water, and then after all that, lead them back to the sheepfold at night to then bind up their wounds, care for them, lock them in, and then stay there to guard them overnight. Oh, by the way, the whole time, they're guarding them against wild beasts. It was a dangerous job. I mean, remember the story of Joseph and the multicolored coat. Joseph went off to check on his brothers, and his brothers hated him. They beat him up. They threw him in a well. They had to go back to their dad, and they had to explain what happened to the brother. This is a common thing for siblings, right? When you get into trouble and you're like, how are we going to tell mom? You know, how do we explain to dad? And they thought, I know. We'll rip up his robe, dip it in blood. What will he assume? A wild beast killed him. Because shepherding was dangerous. It's dangerous. Remember in John when Jesus was trying to help his people understand who he was. And so he tapped into this image of shepherds. And he spoke to the significance of shepherds. And in John 10, I'm just going to read a couple of verses. This is what Jesus said. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them in also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. Oh, what a beautiful picture of the good shepherd. But even in that, what Jesus is doing is he's tying into the common knowledge that shepherding was dangerous. So dangerous that some shepherds, hired hands, would abandon the flock instead of risking their lives fighting off wolves. Now listen, the good shepherd has paid too high a price for his people to leave you just out wandering in this hostile world without providing for you and giving you shepherds to guide you and protect you. And so again, he has called men and set them apart, and he has gifted them to shepherd the people, to feed the people, to lead the people, to protect the people, care for the people. If you were to say, what does being an elder entail? What does it mean to be a pastor? There's four things. You feed the sheep, you lead the sheep, you protect the sheep, you care for the sheep. Really, care would include the first three, wouldn't it? But that's what elders are called to do. Elders, pastors, bishops. All three words in the Greek that are translated into elder, or we call pastor, or some churches call bishops, they're all three used in this verse. Because as we see in other places in Scripture, they're interchangeable. In Scripture, there's not different offices. There's an elder, there's a deacon, and there's church members. That's it. There's not bishops, presbyters. Actually, that word presbyter is used here as well. So elders here are God's provision to his people to lead them, to help God's people live holy lives in a hostile world, because it's difficult, it's hard. Think about all the things we've been talking about as we've been working through 1 Peter. God hasn't called you to all these difficult things and then just let you, okay, go do it however you kind of want. Here's the manual and I'm with you, just do your thing. No, he's called you into a flock, and in this flock, he's given you shepherds, which are there to help guide you and feed you and protect you. This is what you should expect of elders. And elders, hear me. Yes, I realize I'm preaching to myself. Feed the sheep. Feed the sheep. That's probably the primary responsibility of a shepherd, of an elder, to feed the sheep. And we feed the sheep the word of God. It's God's word that we feed to his people. Remember how Peter's been talking about through this letter, and he's been talking to you specifically and directly and calling on you to prepare your mind, to set your hope on the Lord above, to use your gifts. He's calling on you to love God. He's called on you to love others. He's called on you to use your gifts to serve one another. He calls on you to persevere through life, holding on to that living hope, awaiting the glory to be revealed. Now, how are you supposed to do all those things? It requires a steady, healthy diet of the Word. You need the Word to direct you, to strengthen you, to give you wisdom, to equip you to live faithfully for Christ. It's always been the Word of God as the main sustenance for God's people. Think of it like the rich green fields of grass for the sheep. That's the Word of God. Hear how the Word's described from Psalm 19, verse 7 through 11. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening our eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The rules of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, even much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and drippings of the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is your servant warned. In keeping them, there is great reward. It's the word of God that we need. And then in the New Testament, this wonderful verse, we look to it all the time when we consider the word of God. It's 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17. All scripture is breathed out by God, is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. God's word is what you need to be equipped for every good work. And a favorite of mine, this comes from a prayer, and a prayer of Jesus's. I think of it as the prayer of the good shepherd praying for his sheep. John 17, 17. Jesus prayed, sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. Elders, feed the sheep the word of God. In fact, if you look at the requirements for an elder, And then you compare them to the requirements for a deacon. There's only one difference. There's only one difference. And the difference is an elder is to be able to teach. A deacon doesn't have to be able to teach. Why? Because an elder's role is to feed the sheep. We see it in the book of Acts when the role of the elder was clarified versus the role of a deacon. In Acts chapter 6, many of you are familiar with the story. The early church is growing, and the Hellenistic widows were being ignored. And so there was a complaint, and so they had to address this and meet the needs of these widows in the church. And so it came up to the elders. What do we do? Came to the apostles and elders. We got to do something. And so this is what it says in Acts chapter 6, verses 3 and 4. Therefore, brothers, pick out from among you 7 men of good repute, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we will appoint to this duty. But we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word. When you're going to work on Wednesday morning, or you're there and you're wondering, I wonder what my elder's doing. I wonder what the elders are doing. Now, we might be engaged in some other form of work. We might be engaged in picking up a sick kid from school. But in general, through the week, one of the things we should be doing is demonstrating that we're devoted to prayer and to the Word. We're studying the Word. Why? Because this is what we feed you. Feed the sheep. Elders are also called to lead the sheep. Elders provide guidance to the church, to its ministries, its directions. And elders shape the culture as they live as an example of what it means to be holy in a hostile world. Elders are to be the example of that. So while elders are your brothers in Christ, they also have a greater responsibility and therefore a greater expectation of their conduct and their character, because they're to lead. They're to be the examples. But elders protect the sheep as well. Protect the sheep. Elders should be on guard against false prophets, wolves, that come into the church. Sheep don't always like shepherding. Can you imagine that? But elders are called to protect the sheep. We hear it in the warning from Paul to the elders in Ephesus in Acts chapter 20. Paul had spent months and months and months building this church and appointing elders, and he was leaving. And so he addresses the elders as he's going away, and this is what he gives them, this warning he gives to the elders. Pay careful attention to yourselves and to the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to care for the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood. Again, remember, you're far too precious. Christ loves you. He has given his life for you. And so elders have this responsibility to care for you, for what you are. And then Paul says, I know that after my departure, fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And from among your own selves will arise men speaking twisting things to draw away the disciples after them. Pastors are to be on guard. It says we have conversations with one another. And as I may ask you, or an elder, or Lynn may ask you, how's your week going? What are some things you're listening to? What's encouraging your soul? And you begin to share how you started listening to one certain pastor who's a celebrity pastor on TV. And you see our eyebrows go up and a hint of concern on our face. This is why. This is why. And then I've even heard some say, wait, hold on, Pastor. You shouldn't name names of other people who are out there in public. Paul names names. He calls them out in 1 Timothy. He says who they are. Because he's warning the church, because he's caring for the flock. There are dangerous preachers and teachers out there. You have to be on guard against them. I have to be on guard against them for you. Protect the sheep. And then elders are to care for the sheep. Care. We're to bind up the wounds, counsel the struggling hearts, restore those who were fallen or those who were straying. We care for the sheep. We spend a bit of our time in conversation here at New Beginnings as elders, Lynn and I. We spend a bit of our conversation is about which sheep are hurting and suffering. Who needs attention? Where do we need to turn our attention and our focus? We feed, we lead, we protect, we care. This is the calling of an elder. It's a very high and it's a very heavy calling. In fact, it's a dangerous calling. It's one of my favorite books in my library related to pastoral ministries. It is called A Dangerous Calling. That's the calling to be an elder, to be a pastor. It's dangerous not just because of the wild beasts that are out there. It's dangerous not just because of the spiritual warfare that comes against elders. It's dangerous not just because some sheep have shark's teeth and they bite. And that hurts too. But it's dangerous because it provides an excellent opportunity for the gravity of self-centeredness to edge in and make it our flock, our ministry, our glory. It's a very real danger. Peter knows that. So look at what he says. The rest of verse 2. Not under compulsion. Not for shameful gain. Not domineering. There are those who would enter the ministry to serve for these various reasons, these various self-centered reasons. And Peter's saying right up front, no. Number one, not under compulsion. You know, if you go back to verse 1, I think that's why he didn't command. That's why it's not a command. I'm not commanding you to do this because you serving as an elder shouldn't be under compulsion. But rather, you should serve willingly. You should not serve for shameful gain. I know most churches in the U.S., most churches around the world, it's not a big issue right now. That's not a big struggle. But yet sometimes that shameful gain isn't monetary. Sometimes it's reputation, status, feeling important. Not domineering, not out of pride to see my will being done. Oh, that's a struggle. I think I had a conversation recently with someone about this. Oh, if people would just follow my will, things would be so much easier. No. As Peter said above in chapter 4, verse 10, as each received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. We're not to be motivated by fear. Fear shouldn't motivate us into serving. That's what being under compulsion. You're under fear. You're appointed. It's expected of you. We're not to be motivated by greed. What I can get, what can I get out of this? Or pride? How can I see my will being done here? We're not entrepreneurs who are starting businesses that have our name all over it. It's one of the reasons why I'm glad my name isn't on the sign out front. It's just not about me. We are to serve with humility as under shepherds. We're under shepherds, under the chief shepherd. And we're to serve faithfully, leading, feeding, shepherding God's flock. Verse 4, so that when the chief shepherd appears, again, he's had this since the beginning, right? He keeps holding out this, when Christ returns, when Christ comes back, when God's glory is revealed. And so when Christ returns, elders, you serve faithfully. You too, there's a reward there. There's a celebration there for your service. elders. Your elders are to lead faithfully. Everybody on board with that? You're good? You have some expectations for your elders? You should. You should. But there's one more verse. Elders are to lead faithfully, and secondly, sheep are to follow faithfully. Number two, sheep follow faithfully. It's in verse 5. You see, think about it. If God has given His church this flock, men called and set apart to shepherd, well, for this paradigm to work, the sheep have to follow the shepherd faithfully. And so Peter starts off with this interesting word in verse 5, likewise. Likewise. What does that word mean? What does it even mean, likewise? Well, in a similar fashion, right? In a similar way. Parrot what you've seen. Repeat it. Do what they do. Likewise. Likewise what? Likewise, you who are younger, be subject to the elders. Clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility. So apparently, there's something about what he has just said to elders that is related to being subject and is related to humility that he now wants everyone to follow. And I believe that for the elder to shepherd faithfully is for him to be humble and serve, submitting to the flock and its needs. The elder serves by leading, not under compulsion, not serving against their will, but serving willfully, not for shameful gain, not just to get a paycheck, but doing so eagerly and not domineering, but faithfully as an example to be followed. So likewise, the way that this man has given up whatever the world had to offer him to serve the flock, to submit and subject himself to serving God's people. Likewise, you who are younger, be subject to the elders. Now remember, Peter's spoken quite a bit before, earlier on, about the importance of humbly submitting to those in authority. Do you remember that? Are you glad we were out of that section? It was the last part of chapter 2 and into chapter 3. You were like, yeah, I didn't like that. But remember, he talked about that. The importance of humbly submitting and being subject to those in authority. Remember, he said citizens should be subject to human institutions. We talked about the government. Servants should be subject to your masters. We talked about employees being subject to our managers, those in authority over us. Students being subject to their teachers. And wives being subject to your own husbands. And so here he says, sheep be subject to the elders and those that God has put over you. Now, I know you're going, wait a minute. Oh, wait a minute. He's speaking to those who are younger. This is for those who are younger. And, Pastor, you can look at my hair and tell I'm not younger. And that's what you're thinking. Some of you, not all of you. Yeah, yes. He is speaking to those who are younger. Why? Why does he kind of call out those who are younger? I believe he's calling out the younger because the younger are the ones more likely to resist and remain stubborn. I mean, we see that. You see this. That's the way it happens in families with children. Same way it happens in the church. When I was younger, oh, I knew everything, right? When I was 19, I was smarter than my dad. And then when I was 25... Oh, well, I don't know what happened. Something changed. What about what? 27. Oh, 20. Yeah. I was kind of catching up to Dad, but he was still smarter and wiser. And so I think he singles out the young ones because they're more subject to do this, to resist oversight from a shepherd. I'm not going to listen to my dad. I'm certainly not going to listen to no pastor. No, Peter calls them, listen, be subject to the elders. And those who are young do not have an exclusive claim on being rebellious. Because every one of us feels the gravity of this self-centeredness and sin that pulls us towards isolation, independence, autonomy. We feel it. Not only do you feel it naturally, you've grown up in, again, what I will say is the greatest country on the earth right now, but you've grown up in this country which has sadly taught you to be almost fiercely independent. So you hear things like this. I can read the Bible. I've got Jesus in the Spirit. I can do this Christian thing on my own. I don't need a pastor poking his nose into my business. Sound familiar? You ever hear that? Here, you probably haven't heard it from others, but have you ever thought something similar? Plain and simple, that is sinful arrogance and foolish autonomy. That's the sheep that runs from the safety of the flock, even as it kicks and jumps away from the shepherd, just trying to pull it back in. Refusing to submit to the authority of the elder, refusing to submit to the accountability to the flock, considering themselves as a lone disciple that knows what's best. Oh, I've heard it so many times. Well, Pastor, you know, God's just given me a piece about this. And I've told them, I guarantee you 100% that peace is not from God. Remember the words of Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17. Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you. Again, shepherds and pastors are shepherding and caring. And if an elder comes to you and is raising issues that you're feeling stress about and conviction about and you don't like them in your business, understand they're not being nosy. They're not being nosy busybodies. They're trying to help you. They're trying to bring you back in line with God's word. Listen, I guarantee you the elders are not smarter than you. The elders are smarter than y'all, but we're not smarter than you. My dad told me a long time ago that a person is smart, but people are dumb. People are dumb. So the elders aren't necessarily smarter than you, but we do have wisdom. We do have experience. We do have this knowledge of Scripture. And on top of that, we have a gifting from God to allow us to serve the flock this way. God is working through us to shepherd you. So again, for the flock to nourish, for the flock to flourish, that's hard to say, flock to flourish. For the flock to flourish, to be fed, protected, cared for, the elders must lead faithfully and the sheep must follow faithfully. I get it. It's hard. That's difficult. It's hard to ask for help. As I said before, most of us, we've been raised to stand on our own two feet. And if you think about it, usually, almost always, don't you really know what you should do, or don't you already know how to handle different situations? Do you? Do you, though? That's what the lost sheep thinks. They think they got it figured out. They know what way is best for them, and they run off in that on their own. Proverbs 18, verse 1. Proverbs 18, verse 1. Whoever isolates himself seeks his own desire. He breaks out against all sound judgment. It's dangerous to be a rebellious, wandering sheep. The Lord hasn't created you for that. The Lord hasn't made you to live life on your own. And the Lord has saved you, and He's called you into a community because we're communal beings. We're meant to do life together. Like a flock. We're to live in community with one another because we're interdependent. We're dependent on one another. And when we're facing situations and decisions and emotions and conflicts and troubles and but even good opportunities, the Lord has provided a community of counselors for us. I'm not speaking here of elders alone, but in the flock, we can ask one another, what do you think about this? This is what is happening. What should I do? Please pray for me. How would you handle this? But especially, shepherds are given to lead, protect, and care for you. So hear me, sheep. Faithfully follow your elders. Lean on them. Ask them for help. You know, it's not uncommon for us to find ourselves in a dark period, going through a deep valley of hurt and pain. But what do? We isolate ourselves. We keep quiet about it. And we typically stop coming to church. But even if we do, when someone says, how you doing today? Doing good. And that's a lie. And then we go home and we sit in the darkness and depression and we wonder why no one's reaching out to us. Because we've done everything we've could to hide our trouble and pain from the shepherd. We're pretending to go along with the flock. Your elders are gifted and by God's grace, they're called by God to serve you, but they're not omniscient. They don't know everything. Sometimes we're walking around with blinders on because our minds are going 50 different directions and we don't recognize you're in pain. So then Peter adds this. Look at verse 5. Clothe yourselves, all of you. He didn't care if you're younger. He didn't care if you're older. He didn't care if you're an elder shepherd or if you're a member sheep. He didn't care. All of you. Clothe yourselves with humility. We're to put on humility. We're to dress with humility. We're to intentionally kind of set the disposition of our hearts so that we consider others as more important than ourselves. Can I just tell you, that didn't happen automatically? When I get out of bed, I'm the most important. You ever come downstairs and you grab the coffee pot and it's empty? Who drank the last of the coffee? Clearly it was mine. How insensitive and unthoughtful. We don't have that problem. We have a different kind of coffee maker. So in my house, it would look like, who ate the last cookie? Clearly, that's the last five cookies of any package are marked off for Dad. Nobody else. The default of our heart is we're more important than others. No, clothe yourself actively. You have to put this on. Other people are more important than I am. This is humility. Remember the dangers the elder faced? You face the same dangers. You face the same dangers of being motivated out of fear or greed or pride. Threats, temptations that can lead you to rebel and to wander. And what works to keep the flock together, prospering under the leadership of the elders, is humility. Humility for all. And I love the image here. Clothe yourselves with humility. I love that. You know, it was one of the great difficulties in the global war on terrorism. One of the great difficulties is that terrorists don't wear a uniform. That's unlike almost every other war we've fought. And so it's hard to know who is a part of the terrorist group waging war against the West, or who is just a civilian struggling to live their lives in the midst of a war-torn society. But the church shouldn't suffer from that. The church is to be marked out from those around us. And here in Peter, the very uniform that we all share, the uniform that sets us apart and identifies us as following Christ, is humility. We are citizens of the coming kingdom. We have a living hope. We're born again in Jesus Christ, and you can tell that because we live our lives with humility. We live our lives in community. After all, what is the last warning in verse 5? God opposes the proud. We get that. God opposes the proud. Pride is kind of the root of sin, right? I can do it my way. I don't have to listen to you. I want to be my own boss. Pride. So of course God opposes the proud, but then look at this last part. He opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. And when you read that at first, you're like, yes, he gives grace to the humble. But if you think about it, you're like, wait a minute. I've always understood grace as being unmerited favor. You don't earn it. You don't deserve it. It's unmerited. But if God gives grace to the humble, are we to understand that the humble have merited that grace? Whew. I don't believe so. I'm confident that we could never do that because in the first place, we could never truly be humble apart from the grace of God working in our hearts. We would never even consider being sincerely humble without God's grace. But what we see here is that when we are earnestly setting our hearts to serve others, counting them as more important than ourselves, we are vessels of grace, and God gives us more grace, gifting of grace, equipping us to do that work, that service. In chapter 4, verse 11, just above, Peter was talking about this. Whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies. That's grace. We serve by His grace and His gifting. All to the glory of God through Jesus Christ. Church, hear me. Pray for your elders. Pray for them to be faithful in the job they have. And then, church, follow your elders. Follow them. Listen. Submit. Seek their counsel. Seek their prayers. They are God's provision for you. When you're sitting alone in that room and you're distressed and you feel like no one loves you and no one cares and you're praying to God and you're like, God, why have you abandoned me? Why aren't you here? In His Word, God is saying, I've given you elders. Call your elder. He's for you. So that you can faithfully live as a holy witness in a hostile world. Let's pray. Father God, we thank You for Your caring, Your gifting, Your provision. We thank You for the way that You provide for Your church through elders and shepherds. And Lord, I pray that You would bless Lynn and I, that we would be faithful in the duty, this high and heavy calling, to feed and protect and care and lead Your people. And Lord, I pray for this flock, this church, that You would help us to follow the elders, that we would function in a healthy way as we pursue Your promise, as we pursue Your work to build Your kingdom, to build Your church here. And Lord, may all of it be done because of your grace, because you're working through us. All of it to your glory through Jesus Christ. Amen.